Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. That's great. All become clear when we finish thinking about the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm guessing that most of us here are pretty used to the Lord's Prayer. We've been saying it perhaps since we were at school. I don't know if they say it in school anymore, do they, Sylv? No. We used to have to say it every day in my school, and when I was head girl at my quite rough and interesting school, and we were forced to say the Lord's Prayer every day, and the teacher who was leading assembly, who was an atheist, I'd had conversations with him about his atheism, insisted that we say it louder each time and that every single person in the room would say it, including half the school who were Muslim and Sikh. And so in the way that only 15-year-olds who are absolutely sure they are right can, I asked to speak to this teacher at the end of assembly and pointed out that this was religious persecution. And that actually he was not respecting a prayer that I held very dear and the words of my Saviour. And I did not want to be shouted at to say it louder when I was saying a prayer. Sometimes I look back on my 15-year-old self and cringe. I don't think that was very popular with that teacher. But sometimes I look back on my 15-year-old self and think, I've lost something. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today, and I hope it will seem more precious to you by the time we've had a little walk through. And we're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer using a collection of novels, which if I ever go on Mastermind, this will be my specialised subject. Have you ever thought about what you'd answer questions on if you went on Mastermind? Well, if I ever go on Mastermind, my specialised subject will be the novels of Roger Hargreaves. Because my children had the entire box set, and there was a stage in my life where I knew them inside out. I don't know them quite so well these days, but I'm sure I could bone up on them if I needed to. So we're going to go through the little misses and Mr. Men to tell us what they could see what they could teach us about this prayer that the Lord Jesus himself gave us. And I think the first thing we need to discover is that prayer is a conversation. It's not a conversation if it's all one way and there's no relationship. Have you noticed that? You know, what we're having now, it would be good if it was a bit more of a conversation, actually. So feel free to, you know, to chip in back. But often a sermon is not a conversation, is it? You won't go home on a Sunday morning and feel like you've had a conversation with me, because, frankly, I hold all the donuts, don't I, in this situation? I've got the microphone. And sometimes it's a bit like that with our conversation with God. You know, we hold all the donuts. We barely take pause to breathe, let alone listen to what God might have to say to us. And when we really love a person, one of the ways we show that we love them is by really listening to them, isn't it? By giving them that space to talk to us. And how much more should we do that to our Heavenly Father, who will always have something important to say to us? And yet how often do we just gabble our way like little Miss Chatterbox, not really listen to what he has to say? We had an interesting talk on listening to God in the last session we were at New Wine. Some of it I didn't agree with, but one line I did think was very good, and he just said, to talk to God and not to listen is just plain rude. We wouldn't do it, would we? Or at least if we did do it to other people, they would think we were quite rude. And yet we do it to God all the time. The other thing I think we have to learn from what Jesus was teaching about prayer is that we can get a bit up ourselves. Do you notice the people he was talking about and condemning at the beginning of our reading? in Matthew. You see, Jesus was very, very loving and accepting of all sorts of dodgy people. He was always mixing with the wrong people, with the smelly people, with the naughty people, with the people that were collaborating with the Romans, with the people who no one would want to invite for dinner. They were the people Jesus made a beeline for. They were the people he loved. But he had very, very harsh words for the religious. And this passage is no different, is it? We should be really, really careful, those of us who've been in church for a long time, that we don't stray into that camp. It's so easy, isn't it, to waffle on in our prayers. It's so easy, especially in public, to be thinking more about how does this prayer sound than who we are actually speaking to. If you don't believe me, come to some ministers' meetings. We're the worst. Seriously. We're the worst. How much theology can I get into this prayer? How theologically correct can I make my opening and my closing? These are the kind of things that you get distracted with when you've been at Bible college. And that's not prayer. That's performance. So we need to be aware, don't we? We need to not be up ourselves like Mr. Upperty. We need to be aware of who we are talking to and who is it for. And I think if we want to be happy in our prayer life, we need to start where Jesus started with his prayer and recognise that we are not praying to some distant deity. We are praying to our Father in heaven. And we can only be truly happy when we know who we are. And we can only know who we are when we know whose we are. And the prayer that Jesus teaches us starts right in the place of whose we are. God is our Father. And therefore, we are his
children.
That's right. We are a child of God. When we come into his presence to pray, we don't come as a distant, forgotten mortal. We come as a child of God. Think about how your children, grandchildren, nephews and nieces might approach you. This is the invitation of God, that we might approach him in the same way. Second thing Jesus says we ought to be praying for in our prayers is for God's kingdom to come. I don't know about you, but possibly more than any time in my life, perhaps since I was a teenager and the Cold War was still fairly prevalent, I feel the need to pray for God's kingdom to come. Our world is an utter mess, isn't it? And sometimes we can get a bit closeted from sin. You know, most of us lead fairly decent lives, especially, you know, if we've been following Jesus for a while, we like to think and hope that we are becoming more like him, and that's certainly what I see in all of you. But if we want to be reminded that sin is real, and making a mess of this world, we only have to watch the news, don't we? This morning, reporting on one mass shooting in America and another one happens while they're on the air telling you about that. The greed and the injustice, which means that people who don't have enough are suffering at the expense of those of us that waste so much. This is what sin does. And I think Jesus points out to us in this very simple prayer that we should be on our knees praying for our messy world, praying for his kingdom to come urgently. Now, bear with me here. You may be wondering, what on earth has Mr. Tickle got to do? Mr. Tickle was one of my favourite Mr. Men, but not my top favourite. He comes in a minute. May your will be done. Now, I'm really not saying that we should go around tickling people until they submit and invite Jesus into their heart, although it would be an interesting evangelistic technique. But what I am saying is that sometimes we feel really, really weak and powerless. And actually what God teaches is that as the church, we have a long reach. You know, Mr. Tickle could tickle people because he could make his long arms go around corners and he could catch people unawares because they didn't see him coming. We have a long reach as the church of Jesus Christ. We are the hands of our Heavenly Father in this world. If his will is going to be done, it's our hands that are going to do it. There is no other way that God is going to bring his will to happen in the world that we live. We are it. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we have a long reach. See, we have to live out that will of God, not just in our lives on a Sunday morning, but in our private lives, in our families, in our workplace, in our church relationships. And if it doesn't happen there, if we haven't made sure that it happens there in the things that are within easy reach, it's never going to happen in the places of long reach, in the political situation, in the many, many places where injustice happens, in the places in the world where there is starvation, where there are trafficking, where slavery is rife. These places are just round the corner, actually. And we do have a long reach. We reach with the food bank. We reach with the parish nurse. We reach with our daily conversations with people. We reach with our money that we donate to organisations that do things on our behalf. We have a long reach if we listen to the Holy Spirit prompting us to bring God's will happening in our world. Give us today our daily bread. It's such a familiar phrase, isn't it? And yet it's something we in the West really, really need to hear. For those in the third world, give us today our daily bread is a basic prayer of, Lord, I need to rely on you for the basic things I need today. For us, this is a prayer about us needing to know what we need instead of what we want. It's actually dangerous for us in the West because we can become so greedy. We can become so used to having so much more than it, just our daily bread, that we have lost that wonderful spiritual gift of contentment. When people travel to the third world, that's the first thing they notice, is that followers of Jesus have learned what it is to be content. So I wonder when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say this line, rather than thinking about the things that we think we need, maybe we need to be praying that we learn what it is to be content with what we actually need rather than what we want. Forgive us our sins. We all need forgiveness, don't we? We may not be individual perpetrators of the world's injustices, but we are certainly part of why it continues. We need forgiveness for our complacency. We occasionally need to be disturbed and shamed. And when we are, we can know what it means to be truly forgiven. And that forgiveness is powerful, isn't it? Because actually, that forgiveness is never meant to be just a one-way street between God and us. Jesus describes in this prayer how it's supposed to work. Forgiveness is supposed to be a circle. As we receive that forgiveness, it can't help but flow out of us to those who need forgiveness from us. And that grace which flows to us, if we've really accepted it, if we've really understood that we are forgiven, flows out to others that we are in relationship with and who need forgiveness from us. This is my favourite, Mr. Men. It's just so funny, this book. And one of the things, Mr. Bump does lead a very dangerous life, but one of the main things he does is fall down holes. And I don't know, maybe it's because you read these things at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're sleep deprived, but I remember reading this one morning very, very early and thinking it was the funniest thing I'd ever read. But it is quite funny, but it's a great picture of how we are when it comes to temptation. Have you ever noticed that it's just when you think things are going okay that you fall down a hole of temptation? Just when you think you're really walking close to God, that something looms up and bites you, and before you know it, you're back to square one with something, some old temptation that you're perhaps wrestling with. We are constantly surrounded by pitfalls and temptations. And we are permanently at risk of falling in our sinful world. And so Jesus is absolutely right when he says we need to pray that we won't yield to temptation. And we need to pray that not just for ourselves, but when we pray it together in church, we pray it for one another. Because it is an evil world out there, isn't it? It's a beautiful world. It's full of wonderful things. We went to the theatre yesterday afternoon. It was a birthday present from my daughter. We went to see They Came From Away. Has anybody seen that? Isn't it wonderful? This is a musical which is about all the people who were on aeroplanes in the airspace when 9/11 happened. So if you remember that day, all the planes had to land, because they closed the airspace because they didn't know what was going to happen next. And in America, apparently, what happens is if there are planes in the sky that need to come down urgently, they all go to this one place in Newfoundland. And the reason for that is there's a massive airport where planes, before they could carry as much fuel, used to stop on their way over the Atlantic to refuel. And hardly anybody lives there. There's about 10,000 residents in this town with the airport. And so on this one day, when 9/11 happened, all the planes that were in that part of the American airspace landed at that airport. And those people, those 7,000 people who were on those planes, all needed somewhere to stay. And the musical is about how these ordinary people in this town in Newfoundland opened up their homes, made food, provided medicine, gave up their phones so that people could phone, and loved these widely diverse people from all over the world. You know, Africans, Asians, people who didn't speak their language, people of different religions. They created prayer spaces. They opened kosher kitchens. They absolutely opened their arms to these people. It's an incredibly emotional musical, isn't it? If you want to be reminded about how good human nature is, I suggest you go and see it. But of course, the backdrop, the reason this happened, is because the world is incredibly evil as well, isn't it? It's really messed up. And so we may feel weak in the face of some of the evil in the world, but we need to know that God is strong enough to deal with it, that he can and has delivered us. So why do we need the Lord's Prayer? Well, I think what I want to suggest to us this morning is that our very lives depend on it. The things that Jesus teaches us to pray are the things that keep us in his will, that keep us following him, that remind us who we are, that protect us from the worst of ourselves, that protect us from a world where there is so much evil, and remind us that the good in the world comes often through us if we are prepared to have a long reach. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that when you came to join us in this broken world, when you walked around in dirty sandals, when you shared with people in the blistering heat, when you met in people's homes, when you mingled with the wrong people, when you came to know what it was like to be frail like us, that you taught us how to pray. And Father, we pray that this prayer, which we have probably all spoken so many thousands of times in our lives, would come alive again for us. That we wouldn't just pray it and speak it out, but that we would leave space for you to speak to us. Lord, we long to hear from you. Would you speak up, because we are hard of hearing and there are so many other things in the world drowning out your voice. Speak to us loudly and clearly, Lord, that we might indeed do your will and see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.